Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 3rd. It's episode 650, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Beautiful day in Louisville for the 63rd running of the Kentucky Derby in 1937. 103 colts nominated for this one, 20 go postward, headed by number one War Admiral, a good one with Charlie Kurtzinger. He's the 8-5 favorite, and he's a little bit fractious at the gate. Settle down there, War Admiral, we're ready. 20 of them coming out of there, and Heel Fly breaks on top, but the Admiral's out of early trouble. Charlie Kurtzinger sends him up as they come through the stretch for the first time. Now they move around the turn. The leader, War Admiral, 2.5 for 3. Who can catch him? Pompoon says, I can. He drives up on the outside into second place in the final quarter. Here they come into the stretch. It's War Admiral. The crowd is screaming. Pompoon is on second. 3/16 of a mile to go. It's War Admiral, 2 lengths. Pompoon's under left-handed whipping, doing his best. But he's not catching the Admiral yet. They're in the final 16th, and on top it's War Admiral with Pompoon on the outside. But they're waving the stick. Charlie Kurtzing is waving the stick at the Admiral. He's drawing away. He's an easy winner, and here comes the finish. War Admiral, much the best, with Pompoon second.
The camera highlights in the world of sports. And they're away. Pounding down the straightaway past the stand, the crafty maneuvering of jockeys raiding high-strung thoroughbreds in the run to the turn. Dispose leading the pack out in front by a length and a half. Corners Cap, Blue Pair, Odd Booth, and Robert Morris closely bunched behind the flying leader. Whirl Away, betting favorite, eased smartly by jockey Eddie R. Carroll in the tight going at the turn. For jockey R. Carroll now, they're alone with a critical moment when Whirl Away, number 4, heads for the stretch turn. His dangerous habit of going wide, but R. Carroll knows his mount, and with canny skill and a master's touch, guides the chestnut cone-awaited realization of a cherished hope when Whirl Away is acclaimed $61,000 winner in America's Greatest Run for the Roses.
Citation, the hard-charging thoroughbred ridden by Eddie Arcaro, came from 8 lengths back to overtake Coal Town and win the 1948 Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs.
Secretary throws his head a bit. And they're off. The leaders as they come forward out of the stretch. That's out of the stretch, and Sam is the leader. He leads it by a length. Secretary is in the center of the racetrack and driving. Jackie Green now drops back. Coming on a bit is Forgo, our native on the outside. Now and then the stretch, it's Secretariat. Secretariat on the outside to take the lead. Sam holding in second. It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. Sam, then on the outside, our native. That's the wire it's going to be Secretariat.
Woo! Oh my God, if that doesn't make you ready, I don't know what will. Wow, that's some classic Derby runs. All the way from War Admiral down to Secretariat. Fantastic job putting that together, Glenn. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. I love that old-timey sound that they have, you know, from back then. It's just so cool. It just gives you goosebumps listening.
Settle down, War Admiral. We're ready to start.
Yeah, we're ready. Get in the gate.
Like, that's awesome. Well, this is where you have so much packed in for today's show. It is all Derby all the time because, man, tomorrow is the day. Glenn, what are you doing for the Derby?
Well, we're going to do what we usually do because Jennifer likes undisturbed quiet time, starting at about noon with the ESPN coverage all the way throughout the day. She watches six straight hours of story after story, backstory after backstory, and then we get to the Derby and we watch that. So that's what we'll be doing, six straight hours of Jennifer glued to the TV. I tune in about an hour ahead of time. I can't do the 5.5 hours before that.
Well, I'm with Jennifer this time because this is the first time in a long time that I have not been going somewhere or had to do something just as far as derby parties go or throwing a derby party or hosting or going to one. I actually am not going to anything. I'm going to sit in front of my television for 6 hours like Jennifer and watch all of the coverage. I'm super excited. I want the backstories on everybody. I want to know who came from where and what they overcame to get to the Derby. I love those dramatic stories, like when you have all the ESPN announcers sitting there talking about these trainers, and usually these are the same guys that are talking about NBA basketball. Like, all of a sudden, they care about what they have to say. You know, they're talking about horses. It's awesome.
Sure. Jennifer, what do we have planned? We got a full show.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, as you've noticed, we will be jumping onto the Kentucky Derby party wagon two lengths in the show as Glenn and Jamie navigate the comparative competence of this year's entries. And we get an on-the-scene look from listener Jeanette, who will be calling in live from that most famous racing venue. And Frankie Lovato, the only jockey to ever win the same race twice in the same year, is here to take on the Run for the Roses 2013. Next up, we get a truly insider look at the Pletcher entries, which consist of about half the entries, from none other than our adopted bug, Callie. And to put a professional spin on the morning's musings, John White from HRTV's The Edge show stops by right before really bad ads drags us all into a laugh-induced stupor, in anticipation of the mint julep-induced stupor that will be set the nation come Saturday evening.
Mint julep. Gross.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'll tell you what, I'm tired just listening to her. All right,
know,
here
right?
you go. Your Daily Whitty.
Just on a quick side note, big thanks to Robert Grantham. We talked about him on Wednesday. He is the listener who loves Arabians, and he really would love to adopt the little mash horse named Sham, the little colt that we're looking to geld. Well, Robert, not having a stall and being unable to get the horse, had decided to put up all of the money and paid for the entire castration for this little colt in hopes that he would have a better life. And to me, that's just, you get a round of applause for that. That's just fantastic.
Way to go, Robert.
I know. Love that guy. Want to give him a big hug. Wish I was close to him. Wish I knew where he was. He was in Arizona somewhere. Big hug to you, Robert. Some outside news, Glenn, real quick, before we do get to all of our extensive derbiness today, just to let you guys know, badminton did start this morning. They have gone through one quarter of the rides, not even a quarter. They're on their lunch break right now. But I wanted to touch base and just let you know, your pick was Michael Young, right?
Yeah, I thought Michael Young was going to be at the top of the leader. Yep.
Yeah, and then I believe that Victoria was going for, what's her name, Mary King. And then my pick was William Fox Pitt because of the drama with, you know, Andrew Nicholson being married to his ex-wife and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there's some fun drama, and I'm playing it up way in my head. And I love William Fox Pitt because he's a huge Rolex supporter. He comes every year. I would like to let you know where the placings are right now. In first place. This is, again, the first lunch break. It's a guy named Sam Griffiths from Australia on Happy Times, whatever, blah, blah, blah. In second place.
That's good
Andrew
work,
Nicholson.
By the way.
Yeah, whatever. Don't care. Andrew Nicholson is sitting in second place. William Fox Pitt is sitting in third place. Michael Young is sitting in fourth place.
Oh, my God.
And Mary freaking King is sitting in fifth place. How crazy is
that? Oh, my God. So it's still a free-for-all.
It is definitely still a free-for-all, but I just love looking at them like, oh, my God, that was my pick. That was his pick. That was her pick. Like, they're all sitting right there in the top five. So it's very exciting. Of course, you know, we're definitely pulling for the U.S. riders. But just to see those names in that order, I was like, no way! Come on, WSP, let's go. But they, of course, Andrew Nicholson, Michael Young, William Fox Pitt, so Mary King, they all have other horses to ride as well. So they don't usually start with their best. They usually, well, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and there's less than 2 points between them. So, you know, you're between the top five, actually.
Yeah.
Less than 2 points. But these, you're right. The scores right now at 43 being the lowest with Sam Griffiths. You know, we're going to see some 30s, I bet, before we're done here. So.
Yeah, I mean, 43 is an excellent score. So to get in the 30s, they're going to have a test like William Fox Pitt did this past weekend at Rolex. So good luck. But, yeah, the scores are looking good. It's beautiful weather out there. So best of luck to everybody. And go William Fox Pitt.
And, of course, this is the one that was canceled last year because of rain. So I'm glad that the weather is cooperating. Now, the weather might be a little off for tomorrow's Kentucky Derby.
Really?
They're calling for a chance of rain tomorrow. I'm just looking here, taking a look at the latest forecast for Louisville. Looks like tomorrow has a 60% chance of rain showers and 68 degrees. So it's not going to be warm either.
The only time I went to the Derby, it was windy and cold and rainy. And I actually left before the race even started because I couldn't see the view. I couldn't even get a view of the track. There's so many drunk people there.
There is the Oaks today, which is the ladies' race. And, of course, it's pink day over at the Churchill Downs. Everything is in pink. And that is supposed to be 73 degrees and partly cloudy. So today should be a pretty good day for the Oaks.
There's one horse in particular we'll talk about later that you have to pull for, and, of course, that's Dreamy of Julia. Now, let's go through the post positions real quick. I'll do one, you do two, just to let you guys know where everybody stands. In the post position of number one, we have Black Onyx.
And that's a Carl Domingo horse.
No, it's Carl Domino. Don't worry about the trainers and the name. We'll just go through
the
names.
The trainers are the fun part, I think. I think that's the fun part. Anyway,
okay. Black Onyx with Carl Domino and Joe Bravo as the jockey, and his odds are 50-1.
50-1, yeah. Oxbow, who I think you just talked about, Robert Grantham. I think he has picked Oxbow. Dwayne Lucas horse, ridden by Gary Stevens, no slouch there, and 30-1. So good luck with that, Robert. Place some money. If he wins, you're gonna be doing okay.
We've got Revolutionary in the third post position, the first of five entries for Todd Fletcher, ridden by hard-nosed jockey Calvin Burrell, who's sitting at 10-1 right now.
We can never write Calvin out of any race. Golden Soul, our trainer was Dallas Stewart, ridden by jockey Robbie Alvarado at 50-1.
Normandy Invasion is in the fifth spot. That is trainer Chad Brown. Javier Castellano is the jockey, and he's going off at 12-1.
We got number six. We have Milute, who has been a favorite of several of our listeners now, I noticed. Tom, is it Amos? Have we ever talked about Tom Amos before? Amos? Look at the jockey. I might have to change my pick. Rosie Napravnik, and that's going off at 15-1.
Giant Finish is in the seven hole. Tony Dutrow is the trainer. Jose Espinosa is the jockey. And the odds right now are 15-1. I'm sorry, that's 50-1. Woo!
50-1,
good luck, Giant Finish.
Golden Sense has been a pick of many of our listeners. Doug O'Neill is the trainer, who, of course, put me in the winner's circle last year. Kevin Krieger is the jockey, who I've never heard of. 5-1, but Golden Sense is looking pretty good in the odds.
Overanalyze, Todd Fletcher, Rafael Bajarano, and going off at 15-1, and they're in the nine hole.
And that's what we're doing today, overanalyzing. Palace Malice, also a Todd Fletcher horse, ridden by Mike Smith at 20-1. Boy, Todd got some excellent jockeys for his horses this year.
Never heard of him. Lines of Battle in the 11 hole. Lines of Battle, and we haven't heard much about. Aiden O'Brien is the trainer. Ryan Moore is the jockey, going off at 30-1.
It's my lucky day. Woohoo! Wouldn't it be cool? You got to think about it, though. Wouldn't it be so cool to have a Triple Crown winner, the first one in 30 years, and his name was It's My Lucky Day? That'd be pretty cool. Edward Slessa Jr. was the trainer, and Elvis
Trujillo.
Something. What is it?
Trujillo.
Trujillo at 15-1.
Yes. Falling Skies in the 13 spot. John Terranova is the trainer. Luis Saez is the jockey, and they are 50-1 right now.
Verrazano, named after the bridge in New York. Todd Pletcher is the trainer. John Velasquez is riding at 4-1.
Charming Kitten in the 15 hole. Oh, my God. Can I say Todd Pletcher's name one more time? Yes, because he's training Charming Kitten. And Edgar Prado is the jockey, 20-1. You're right. He did wrangle all of the best jockeys.
Yeah, he did. Orb, of course, is the morning line favorite today. The trainer is Shug. I can't even say that last name.
Shug McGahey.
McGahey, okay. He's not Irish, huh? The jockey is Joel Rosario at 7-2.
And after Orb, we've got number 17, Will Take Charge, trained by D-Wayne Lucas. And let's see, John Court is the jockey going off at 20-1.
Now, Frack Daddy is a favorite of one of our listeners, I noticed, and he's in the 18 hole. Ken McPeak and Victor LeBron is riding him at 50-1.
And then you've gotten in the 19 hole, Java's War. And do you think that Ken McPeak was like wondering why he drew horses next to each other? Because he's also training Java's War. Julian Lepereau is the trainer, is the rider. He's going off at 15-1. And the final one, wow. This horse
is Vijack, and the trainer was Judy Rodriguez, and the rider is Garrett Gomez off at 15-1, and there's an alternate, Fear the Kitten, which would have been my pick because we have a kitten you need to fear, but he's the alternate at this point. So.
Yeah, well, who knows what will happen, and Vijack with Rudy Rodriguez as the trainer, a horse has won, Glenn, from the 20th spot. Can you name that horse? Only one.
Was it I'll Have Another?
No, it was Big Brown. Okay. Big Brown is the only horse to win from the 20 spot, but yeah, so there you go. There's a little trivia for you. Now, just before we get to our first guest, do we have time to make our picks, Glenn?
I'm having such a tough time this year because I pick by name. And last year, I'll Have Another was pretty clear. It was pretty clear I'll Have Another was just my horse because it was the name. This year, there's so many good names. And did you notice a trend? Let me see if I can point out a trend to you that you may not have noticed because you're not a history buff like I am. Revolutionary, Normandy Invasion, Lines of Battle, We'll Take Charge, Java's War. Do you see a trend in those names this year?
I do. So you still have to pick. I'm surprised you haven't picked It's My Lucky Day, being that I'll Have Another was crammed into one word, and now you crammed It's My Lucky Day all into
one
word.
But I'm a history buff. So Normandy Invasion is really, my gut's telling me to go Normandy Invasion because I'm such a history buff.
Is that your gut pick then?
I don't know. Tell me yours first.
What you have to do is you have to break it down, okay? I had to break it down into a couple different categories. Number one, picking by name, I have to go with overanalyze. And the reason I go with overanalyze is because I overanalyze everything. When I was in the dating world, I would overanalyze every single thing, every single guy did, no matter what time he called, when did he call, what is he thinking, what is he talking about, is he talking to his friends about me, oh, God, what is he going to call me again? I was a queen of overanalyzation, okay, in the dating world. Now I overanalyze everything my horses do and blah and everything like that. So I love the name Overanalyze. It is a Micropoli horse. He's the vitamin water guy. He's hungry for a Derby win. He's got a lot of money. I mean, all
he really
people
wants
do.
To win.
You hoping he sends some of it your way? Is that it?
I just think he must have a strong horse, you know. So then I had to go with the category of gelding. There's only one gelding in the entire race, Glenn, and his name is Vijack. So
yeah.
Rudy Rodriguez is training the horse Vijack in the 20th spot. So he's a gelding, and, you know, I love it when people geld their horses. Oxbow. it's hard to argue with a horse named Oxbow who is from, this is just the classic grouping of people coming together. The trainer is Dwayne Lucas, who would be the oldest winning trainer if this horse won. Gary Stevens, who's making his comeback, is riding Oxbow. And guess who owns Oxbow? Calumet Farm. I mean, talk about a classic mix of everything coming together. Calumet, Dwayne Lucas, Gary Stevens, it screams classic victory. And then finally, Normandy Invasion. I mean, first of all, I really like this horse. Friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, I was lucky enough to be at Keeneland when trainer Chad Brown won, and I got to be in the winner's circle photo with Chad Brown. So I'm kind of a big deal. I know him. We're like really good friends. I was the one standing on the very end when the horse was at the other end with Chad Brown, but it doesn't matter. Because I was in a winner's circle photo with Chad Brown because I kind of snuck into it. They were like, gosh, you're coming down. He's super nice. He's super cute. He's very young. So those are my picks. Overanalyze, Oxbow, Normandy Invasion, and Vijack. And I would have to play a superfecta to get all of them.
Yes, you would. All right. Write them down. Write them down. We'll see you on Monday. I think, okay, this is what I'm going to do. If I'm going to pick my top three, just by name, I have to go with... I'm not sure what order yet. It's My Lucky Day has to be in there just because it's just a great name. I have to pick Normandy Invasion because I'm such a history buff. And, of course, that was one of the biggest points in history and changed World War II. And then I have
to pick
what the Normandy Invasion was. Yes, it was France, you know, we attacked.
Whatever.
Thousand sides, you know, that kind of thing. And then I have to pick... Because I've driven over it once, I have to pick the Verrazano because I've been over the bridge. So we got Normandy Invasion, Verrazano, and It's My Lucky Day.
Well, you are in good company. Verrazano was picked by Uta Shepherd, who is our listener. Let's see. Melanie picked Java's War. Mary picked My Lute. Joanne picked Golden Sense. Cindy Stoper Smith picked Normandy Invasion. And then it seems like a whole lot of people like Orb. Carrie liked Orb. Don Deems liked Orb. Robert Dunn picked Frack Daddy because he likes the name. And Robert Grantham picked Oxbow. So we've got a whole bunch of people. Carrie picked Orb. So we've got a whole bunch of people weighing in on our Facebook page. So if you want to jump in on that, go ahead and find us at Horses in the Morning on Facebook.
Well, we missed, before we get to our first guest who's standing by at the track at Churchill Downs, Jennifer, who'd you pick?
I picked Golden Sense, just because he has a cool name, and I kind of like Doug O'Neill. Falling Sky, again, cool name. And the horse that will be expected to run really well and will come in third or fourth, Palace Malice.
There you go. And tell the real reason why you picked those first two.
Because of their really, really vague 007 references.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a dork, I know.
There
golden
go.
Finger, Golden Tense, is that,
yes,
is that vague?
Yes, it's Falling
that
Sky.
That is very, very vague.
It's Golden,
Falling,
yeah. Eye. Golden Eye.
Golden Eye. Golden Finger.
Gold Finger?
Oh, that's
but
true.
Not
a, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Gold Finger was
it. He's just Gold Finger, yeah.
Yep.
Ha.
Well, let's go to our listener who is standing by now, waiting to talk to us from Churchill Downs. And she has a story to tell us because she has been there before. This is Jeanette. Good morning, Jeanette.
Good morning.
Now, you told me you've been there a lot over the last couple of years, haven't you?
Yes. This is our ninth trip.
Wow. And you had your honeymoon in 2003 there?
Yes. And this is our 10th anniversary trip.
Well, congratulations, by the way. That's terrific. And now you were there on your honeymoon with 150,000 of your friends.
Yes.
Now, I got to ask you, Jeanette, okay, so you've been there for the last 10 years. You went on your honeymoon to the Kentucky Derby. You're there for your 10-year anniversary. Is your husband, I'm going to give you a couple choices here. Either your husband is, number one, very supportive of your love for horses. Number two, he is kind of bored and follows you around. Or number three, he's a degenerate gambler. Which one is it?
It would be a hybrid between 1 and 3.
Okay. He loves you and he likes to gamble. Gotcha. So just
and,
so we know
and
where
he,
we're coming
and
from.
It turned out that we had horses in common when we met, but we didn't know it, that we were both race fans. But we didn't figure that out for about a year.
Wow. Until Derby rolled around all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, where are you now, this minute? Where are you this minute?
I'm actually standing right out in front of Barbaro.
Oh, my God.
God. You just gave everybody that's been there goosebumps. Now, why do you get there so early? Do you start drinking this early? I know the races don't start this afternoon for the ladies.
The bar is open, and as soon as we get in, my husband will be heading straight for the mint julep. I think it's Lily's for us today.
when you're at Churchill, it's not proper to walk around without a buzz. I mean, you just have to.
I think that's true. It must be why they open it so early.
I agree.
Now, you
got to have a glass.
I have read that security is really, really tight this year. Have you found it to be much tighter than other years?
They had a lot of regulation changes just last week. And so my lucky derby purse that I bought at the museum a couple years ago that has all these beautiful derby hats on it, I can't bring in because it's over 12 inches wide. So that was a bummer. So I had to scale back my purse and, you know, can't bring a camera with a detachable lens, but we'll make and do. It's all okay.
Well, that's good. It'll keep you safe while you're there. That's the idea.
Yes, of course.
Now, have you been over to the Kentucky Derby Museum, because they have Mind That Bird and Funnyside both on display?
Well, I'm really excited to go see them. We were at the museum the other night, but we couldn't get out to the paddock to see Mind That Bird wasn't quite there yet. So we plan on going over today to see him. But Funnyside is our honeymoon horse, so that, you know, I'm very excited to see him.
Oh,
and I actually had a bet on Mind That Bird, and I, in fact, the trainer, Chip Woolley, was at the museum the other night, too, so we got to chat with him a little bit. That's fun.
That is really cool. So then I must ask, who's your pick and who's your husband's pick?
My husband hasn't decided yet. He has a big string of ones, and he'll decide that later. But a couple weeks ago, I already made my decision. It's going to be Golden Sense. And I pick my wins, and I do pretty good based on sentimental connections. And the jockey, Kevin Krieger, is a jockey from home. Well, he ran at Emerald Downs, where we're from Seattle. So, and I've had a chance to, you know, talk to him a few times, and he's just such a nice, nice guy. And I know he's just a really compassionate rider. And he just has a way of, you know, connecting with his horse, and I just believe in him.
Is this his first derby?
Yes, it is his first derby.
Wow. Wow. Have you talked to him since you've been there? I'm so curious to know what a jockey having a first-time derby horse, kind of what's going through his mind.
Well, I heard this morning he was interviewed. I didn't hear the interview, but I heard a quote from it that he didn't come for the experience. He came to win.
Woo! Yeah.
I love it.
Gotta love that.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so cool that you and your husband do this together and you share it. You come all the way from Seattle. That is your yearly trip. That's incredibly romantic. Have a mentor for us. And, oh, my gosh,
thanks.
Enjoy your time there. It's so cool.
Oh, we will.
Thanks, Jeanette.
Bye, thank
have
you.
Fun. Hey, Jeanette, hold
Happy
on.
Happy Derby
Jeanette.
Day. Oh, what?
Hey, Jeanette, hold on 1 second. Yep. Jennifer has a question she wants to ask you, so I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeanette. Oh, my gosh, how cool to have somebody actually at the Derby right now talking to us. That's standing right next to Barbaro. Oh, goosebumps.
Very good. Well, Jennifer, if you could catch her and see if she can send a pic directly to or to my phone, a picture, or send one to us from the track, we'd appreciate that. And she has to be in the picture, so tell her that. Well, let's take a break, and we're going to be back with Frankie Lovato here in just a second. Now I'm kind of, you know what's going to happen? All through this show, I'm going to be changing my mind about my pick now. That's what's going to happen. And I want to change my mind because I'm hearing all these people talk. And then I talked to, you know, later on, I got to catch up with Callie from the Pletcher camp. And, oh, man, it's so hard this year. This is a tough year. I'm usually so decisive about this. I'm having a tough time because I'm defending my title. That's the problem.
Yeah, you got to let that go. You're not going to win this year.
Two in a row. I could make it two in a row. And do you know how I would torture you if I had two in a row? Oh, I just want that so bad.
God, I'd kill myself. I'm going on maternity leave early. If you win this weekend, I start maternity leave Monday.
Kentucky Performance Products Nutrition Minute. We'll be right back. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Spring is here, and so are pastures full of luscious green grass. Spring grass is high in vitamins, minerals, and sugar. Most horses have little problem adjusting to the changing sugar levels found in spring pasture, but for at-risk horses, grazing on sugary grass can lead to big problems such as colic or laminitis. By paying attention to daily temperatures and following a couple of simple rules, you can limit your horse's access to such sugar-laden grasses. In the spring and fall of the year, limit grazing or stop it completely when daytime temperatures are warm and nighttime temperatures are below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Under these conditions, the grass produces sugar during the day and it stores it in its leaves. At night, the plant transfers the stored up sugars to the roots and stems to fuel the growth. If the evening temperatures are cold, the grass will not make that transfer and all of the sugar will remain in the leaves, where it is readily available to your horse. In the summer, when days are sunny and nights are warm, it is safe to allow grazing in the early morning hours, but it should be restricted late in the afternoon or evening. This is because most of the sugar that was produced the previous day has been used for growth overnight. Therefore, the level of sugar in the leaves is low in the morning. But as the day progresses, the grass once again accumulates sugar in its leaves in preparation for nighttime growth. So later in the day, the more sugar-packed leaves become. Because grass is a great source of essential vitamin E, horses that are restricted from grazing, especially easy keepers and horses in hard work, may develop vitamin E deficiency. Lack of vitamin E can result in sore, stiff muscles, and neurological problems. Elevate Maintenance Powder from Kentucky Performance Products is an affordable way to provide your horse with the vitamin E missing from his diet. Each scoop provides 1,000 international units of natural vitamin E, and natural vitamin E is absorbed and retained in the tissues at a much greater rate than the synthetic vitamin E found in many feeds and supplements. Best of all, when you choose a Kentucky Performance Product supplement, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. Well, thank you to Kentucky Performance Products for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. And I'll tell you what, I learned a lot. I didn't know all that stuff about the sugar in the grass and when it all pops out. I thought that was very interesting. I just didn't realize that. And you can learn a lot on their Facebook page, too. If you just search for Kentucky Performance Products, they're always posting cool information like that to help you and your horse.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It sounds so like I knew what I was talking about, but
no,
I was like, I learned it right before I read it. I was like, really? But then you got to sell it.
I thought that was very interesting. No, you do a great job with those nutrition minutes. You really do.
Oh,
Frankie Lovato, our jockey who joins us every year at this time and other times too, but he's one of our favorites of Equisizer fame, and he is here to give us his wrap here of what's coming up today and tomorrow. Good morning, Frankie.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. How are you guys doing?
Morning.
We are terrific, and we are so excited about today and tomorrow, and I know you are too, being a jockey, rode to 200,000 races and won most of them. Hey, Frankie, I didn't realize till this morning that you have your own Wikipedia page.
Well, yes, I do. It needs to be updated. It was all before prior Jockey World when it was written, so I need to update that a bit, but not too impressive. You know,
hey, it's pretty impressive. I was reading it today, 15,000 mounts, winning on 1,600 of them, in the money on 3,500 others. Not too bad.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
No.
Oh, Glenn, you don't have a page. I just looked for you. You don't have
I know. I don't have a page. Well, Frankie, what do you think about this year?
Well, I think it's a very competitive field of horses. I don't really think there's a standout. I mean, of course, there's the couple of the favorites there that Verrazano and Orb seem to be kind of like on they're the favorites. I mean, but I think it's a wide open race. I really do. I think the favorites are very vulnerable because of their style of running, and when you get to this many horses in one race. I always look for a horse that kind of grinds it out and comes out from the clouds. So I think Verrazano, I think he might be the most talented, but I don't know if he'll be the most talented for this race, or that'll show.
Wait, do you think Todd just couldn't get all the spots? He had to settle for five?
Poor guy. You know?
Yeah.
Poor guy, but he might walk away with nothing. Who knows? But you got to give the guy a lot of credit. Just you know, as a trainer and his clientele he's built up, and the job that he does with all these horses, it's no accident that he's got five horses in here.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Callie a little bit later on. Remember, Callie is our adopted bug and is training in the Pletcher camp, and she got to ride some of these horses last year when they were coming up through. So we'll hear from her a little bit later on about what she thinks and the excitement going on there in the Pletcher camp. But so now Jamie, you know, got out the whip and forced me to make my picks. So if I got out the whip and forced you to make your picks, you sound kind of like me. It's kind of wishy-washy this year.
Yeah. And I think you and I are wishy-washy in general, Glenn.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah, you deserve that one. And there's no name in here that I think that you just would run with like you've been doing.
Well, the problem was, I'm a history buff, so I had a lot of names: Normandy Invasion, and you know all of the Wilkes
Lines of Battle,
Java's War,
Lines
of Battle. I got all kinds of good names.
Nothing like I'll Have Another. You know,
no,
like
that one fell off the page right on top of my head. You know,
exactly.
Right.
Well, my long shot, or a horse that I feel that I think will surface, is a horse named Java's War. Trained by Kenny McPeak and ridden by Jillian LaPerroa. I think Jillian's one of those jockeys that he just keeps surfacing no matter what, and of course Ken McPeak as well. But this horse made such an impressive run at Keeneland in the Bluegrass that that's the kind of horse I think that it takes to win this race, the Kentucky Derby, meaning tomorrow. So,
how do you think Ken McPeak felt when his two horses in this race end up in 18th and 19th hole?
What can you say? It's what you call luck of the draw, but I mean, he ends up. It could have been funny. It could have been 19 and 20.
Yeah,
or,
that's true.
Or 1 and 20.
Do you know him, Ken McPeak? I don't know much about him.
Yeah, I know him. He does very well in the business as a trainer, and he started that Horse Races Now app. I don't know if you've heard of that application. Your telephone.
No.
It's a really great app. And look, I'm giving him a free commercial here.
That's all right.
But yeah, it's an app for your phone that I've got on my phone, and you can follow the races, actually watch the replays, some of the tracks that agreed to participate, and you could follow your favorite jockeys and horses and trainers. And anyway, he created
was it
that.
Called? I want that app.
Horse Races Now. I think.
Something
if
like
I,
that.
If I could find my phone, I would. Confirm that.
You're on it right now, by the way. By your ear.
I mean my cell phone. That's not fair. Where's my head? I can't find my head. Anyway.
Now tell us, there were a couple other trainers in here that we haven't heard a lot about. It's my lucky day, Edward Plessa.
Eddie Pleza. It's pronounced Pleza. Great guy, great trainer, stays in Florida year-round, always does very well. One of the top trainers down there for many years, but does very well. So there's Eddie Pleza. Who else do you want to know about? I can give you the whole rundown.
Jamie, is there one that jumps out at you that we don't know much about? Dallas Stewart?
Did you talk about Falling Sky already?
No, we have not. That's a John Terranova, of course.
Yeah, Luis Saez. Do you know much about him?
I know John Terranova as a trainer. When he was starting out, he was, which he still is, based in New York, but he worked as an assistant trainer under some people and then went on his own. And he's been a low-profile kind of guy, but knows what he's doing.
I want to ask you, as far as the combination goes, with the classic combo of you've got a Calumet horse, with D-Wayne, who would be like the oldest winning trainer at this point, and Gary Stevens, does that combination do anything? It kind of warms my little heartstrings.
Well, there you go. At least it does something. But
he's not looking very good. Is that what you're saying? He's not going to win?
I'm not falling for any of that. You know. It's not that romantic to me.
D-Wayne, Gary Stevens, and Calumet. Come on. How could you not go for it?
Oh, you know what? It would have been better. Did you realize that the Calumet silks are no longer owned by Calumet Farm? This is something that's just got me so twisted.
Really?
Yeah, the traditional, the red, what's it called? The satin red and the blue. The traditional Calumet Farm silks that were such a big part of history do not belong to Calumet Farm anymore. They sold those silks to someone else. I don't know, Exxon. I'm making things up now. Horse Races Now or one of those people. And Calumet now has a new set of silks that they use and race under. And that just breaks my heart.
Well, you have to realize that, speaking of Calumet, sorry, Glenn, Calumet has had all sorts of financial problems.
Yes.
It's amazing it's still called Calumet Farms, and it's not just a second part of the airport in Lexington, okay?
You're right. And you know what, the guy that bought Calumet, I'm sorry, Jamie, the guy that bought Calumet Farm, you know, hats off to him and saving the farm. And it's such a big part of history. They've won 8 derbies. 8.
Yeah. Yeah, when you go to the trophy room at the Kentucky Horse Park, the trophy room is Calumet. You know, it's basically all of their trophies through the years. It's amazing, you know. And then we have ignored this, and I have to talk about it because I need to know the real story. I've had this crush on Rosie Napravnik. Now tell me, should I have a crush on Rosie? Is she like a bitch, or what's the story?
Glenn!
Well, I need to know the truth. Are you gonna break my crush here, Frankie?
No, she's a lovely person.
Oh, good. Sarcastic right now. It's not even funny.
However,
I'm gonna put your foot down.
However, she's not been on Jockey World Radio yet. So.
Oh, you know what? She hasn't been on our show yet either. Jennifer's been trying hard, and we can't get her. So you haven't got. I feel better. You haven't gotten her yet either.
Right. Apparently, she doesn't return calls. Apparently. I'm just putting it out there. Don't feel bad.
Rosie, we're trying here. I'm a fan.
But she's really busy. She's riding races right now. I mean, she rides races even when there's no races going on. So. She's riding somewhere somehow. She's riding. So. Busy girl. She's busy. But
she's riding races when there's no races going on.
She's
the
busy.
Funny thing we've heard on this show in a while. All right.
She's busy. Bless her heart, though. She's doing great. She's great for the game.
How many nice tulips did you have this morning? Geez, you're on a roll.
Julie Crone loves her, so as long as Julie loves her, I love her, too. So. That's a true story.
How many mixed juleps did you have today?
My fourth.
Hey, Hey, Frankie, I do have something positive to tell you, real good here about your business. Of course, Frankie is the one that invented and sells the Equisizer, which is used by a bunch of jockeys. And in the interview coming up with Callie a little bit later on, she credits the Equisizer as being the thing that really got her back into shape after she broke her ankle.
Yes,
so
thank
kudos
you.
Out to you. You know, I realize it's a business for you, and you are in business to sell it, but it does amazing things for people.
Yeah, it's handy. It's one of those things that, you know, when you don't have a horse, it's an option. And if you're coming off an injury, or if you're trying to fix something with yourself, whether it's straightness or rhythm, or even just reining techniques, you could just practice over and over and over. And that's one thing as a jockey, you really can't practice riding races. You have to go out there and do it. And as a jockey, it enables you to rehearse what you need to be good at, which is a lot of position and reining and fitness.
Right.
So, and all riders need that. So it's
right.
Simple.
Well, yeah, well, it definitely works for sure. Now, you mentioned your radio show was off for a while. Are you back on again?
We are back on air, though, but because of our 365-day racing terminology challenge, we've scaled down where we're doing it twice a month, our radio show, and we moved to Monday nights at 8 p.m. So anybody who's interested, they can go to Jockey World Radio and check out some of our recent shows, but our shows were weekly, but we've had some amazing guests over the last year and a half. So,
you really have, and we've been absolutely loving your daily updates too.
Thank you.
Terrific. I saw one this week, Jamie, in his daily updates of racing terminology. Guess who got to make an appearance? Did you see that, Jamie?
Was it you?
No, a certain pony. A certain
popcorn pony
made an appearance.
Yeah,
don't cloud your professionalism, Frankie, by throwing Glenn on one of these things. He has no idea what he's talking about.
Wouldn't do that, I'm sure. No, popcorn was a star.
Yes. Did you see his gates in slow motion?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, proper pony gates.
Yes. Thank goodness for slow motion, because it was like, boop, it's done, you know? So I had to slow it down, and this is the 3-beat gate. But thank goodness for Kayla Jarvinen as well. Kayla's my assistant, and I was running down the yard with popcorn while he was in his walk, trot, and canter, and Kayla filmed it off my iPhone. So,
well, you've hit number 123. I'm proud of you for getting this far along in your racing terms. For those who have missed them, post on Facebook every day, is there a place, and I think I messaged you before, was there a place where everybody can like listen to them one after another?
Yeah, the easiest place to they're on YouTube, and if you just if you were to search either in YouTube or Google Frankie Lovato's or just racing terminology, you'll probably find them. But jockeyworld.org, which we all should be able to spell that, I think, but the homepage. Glenn, can you spell jockeyworld.org?
I'm trying right now, Frankie. I'll let you know.
But there's every day it's updated, and that playlist that's on the homepage is updated every day. And if you click on it, it's actually the playlist. So once that video plays, you can hover your mouse over it, and the whole playlist will come up, and you can rattle through starting from A, and we're up to G now. We're into G. So 100, like you mentioned, 120. I don't even know what day it is anymore, guys.
Guy, you're drunk.
Well, Frankie, thank you so much. This has been a blast having you on this morning. We really appreciate you joining us here. And we'll see what happens tomorrow, and maybe we'll catch up with you next week for a little wrap.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I got to go because Rosie's calling me, Rosie Napravnik's on the other line.
You do that, Frankie.
I got to go.
She's on a horse right now calling you.
Rosie, is that you? Rosie? Hang on, guys. I'm sorry. Have a great day, guys.
All right, bye, Frankie.
Happy Derby.
He's got to go. He's got a bigger name on the other line. Whatever.
Well, why don't you introduce our next guest who's ready for us?
Well, once I get over talking to Frankie, you introduced John White, is that who's coming on next? I'm confused.
Yep.
I got
So many people on today. John White of HRTV. John, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. Good morning. In just a second, I've got President Obama on the line. So,
I'll tell him, hang up, hang up. Just kidding.
That's funny.
Commander in Chief. All right, John, you are funny too. Okay, so tell us, you've been with HRTV since the beginning.
Yeah, that's correct. When the network launched 11 years ago, in fact, I had the honor of being the first person they asked to be an on-air commentator. So when the network commenced, that was yours truly, the first one on the air. So it's been amazing to watch how the network has grown over the decade. So we're very proud of it, and it continues to grow, and we're very very energetic and very excited about what we do each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, and each and every year.
Well, tell us a little bit about, you've got a show right now that you're doing every week, and it is basically a handicapping show. You're the guy we need to listen to as far as the picks go.
Well, that's right. So, but I wouldn't be too sure of that. However, I was lucky enough to pick the winner last year. I'll have another in the Kentucky Derby.
Me too. I did too. But you picked him because you actually read the program and the stats and all that. I picked him because it involved drinking.
Well, there you go. And actually, the name stemmed from cookies because owner, Paul Redham, who is a very good guy, by the way, but he would be sitting there watching television and he would have a cookie and then he'd say to his wife, I'll have another. And would kind of make her pause because he would be eating too many cookies. But I know that you're not the only one that went down that road and maybe went with I'll have another from that drinking angle. It just goes to show you in horse racing, whatever works.
That's right.
See, but I got to tell you, John, I wasn't buying that story. I think they're just trying to paint him as a sweet cookie eater, but he was actually like, honey, give me another one. Like, he was a drinker.
I was always wondering if 60 Minutes might do an investigative piece on that to find out if that was actually the true story.
I wasn't buying it. So you've got a TV show called The Edge weekly. You handicap all the races. And so let's break it down. We got a big one tomorrow.
We do the Kentucky Derby, of course, and for me, I wish I had a nice long shot like I'll have another last year, but this year I like the favorite, and that's Orb. And he's won four in a row. The distance should be excellent for him. He has a great trainer in Shug McGahee. Shug McGahee has been in the Hall of Fame for quite a long time, and he hasn't run all that many horses in the Kentucky Derby. In fact, he's only run one horse in it since 1989, and in 1989 he ran a horse by the name of Easy Goer in the Kentucky Derby who was a superstar. But Easy Goer had the misfortune to be born the same year as another superstar, Sunday Silence, and we had a tremendous rivalry that year. It was an east-west rivalry. Easy Goer from the east, Sunday Silence from the west, and Sunday Silence won the Kentucky Derby with Easy Goer second. Sunday Silence nosed out Easy Goer in the Preakness with Sunday Silence nosed out Easy Goer in the Preakness with the Easy Goer second. Then Easy Goer won the Belmont Stakes to spoil Sunday Silence's Triple Crown, and then they had a dramatic showdown in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Gulfstream Park in the fall, and in that one, Sunday Silence from California defeated Easy Goer. But Shug McGahee, if Sunday Silence is born in any other year, not only would have been a winning Kentucky Derby trainer, he would have been a winning Triple Crown trainer.
Well, you know what they say, that's what made Affirmed so darn good, is that he ran against Aladar. I mean, every horse has its rival, it seems like, and it makes for dramatic stories. And Easy Goer was still one of my favorite horses of all time. He, you know, it's like when you watch that series, coming up in the Kentucky Derby, you had Easy Goer who was a length out, and then he noses up to him and just loses by just barely a nose for the Preakness, and then goes right on past him for the Belmont. So it was such a great rivalry, and of course, I'm sure there were a lot of people that were disappointed that Sunday Silence didn't win. I was an Easy Goer fan, so I was glad he busted it. But again, that's what rivalries are. You know, it's like it makes the other one better.
Well, I was a huge fan of both of them because I became an Easy Goer fan when he was a two-year-old, because he was the two-year-old champion, and Sunday Silence didn't really come on the scene until he was a three-year-old. But I really appreciated both colts, and as you say, it really was a fun rivalry, an exciting rivalry, and again, it's just a bad break to me for both of them, because if it wasn't for the other colt, the other rival, we would have had a Triple Crown winner that year. So I really think that the Derby gods kind of are looking down and feel that Shig McGahey's got a Kentucky Derby, his name on a Kentucky Derby, and this very well could be the year. Orb has done absolutely nothing wrong, and in fact, his training at Churchill Downs has been just beautiful. And his last workout before the Kentucky Derby was sensational. Jay Pribben, who's the national correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum, said it was as good of a workout as Barbaro had before he won the Kentucky Derby, and as good as Big Brown before he won the Kentucky Derby. So when you're getting that kind of a rave review for Orb's final workout before the Kentucky Derby, that's yet another positive sign.
Do you know the statistics of how many of the favorites have actually won the Kentucky Derby over the years?
Not many.
Well, they had a good run back in the 70s more because we had horses like Secretariat and Seattle Slough. But then there was a big drought for quite a long time. So it's, you know, been kind of hit or miss in the last decade or so.
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
With Orb, does post position 16 scare you, or is that an encouraging post position because he's kind of a little more on the outside, out of the mess?
Well, that's a very good question, and I will say that I learned my lesson last year to really not worry about the post position, because if you have the right horse, chances are he's going to win, and if you don't have the right horse, it really doesn't matter where he starts from. That being said, looking at Lucky, when he drew the inside post position for his Kentucky Derby a couple of years ago, I thought that was a big problem, and it was, because when you're down on the inside, all those horses to the outside are trying to get over to the rail, and it really causes a traffic problem if you're down on the inside. So I think 16 is good from that standpoint. But last year I was very concerned when I liked I'll Have Another, and he drew post 19, and I won't even utter now the expletive I uttered when he drew that post position. No horse had ever won the Kentucky Derby out of post 19. And so I'm thinking, well, it's probably over before it even starts. But before the end of the day, on the day that they drew the post positions, I had come to the conclusion, look, I'm not going to get off this horse because of his post position. If I really like him, if he's the horse, he's going to get it done. And he did, and he got a terrific ride from a young rider, Mario Gutierrez. But still, he ran farther than Bodemeister, who finished second in the race. But Bodemeister actually ran a very good race in defeat as well, because he was being hounded by Trinneberg through the early stages of the race. But as I say, last year I kind of made a mental note that if I'll Have Another wins from post 19, that's even more of a reason not to be too concerned about whatever post position your horse gets in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, I mean, horses have won it from 20, so, you know, you had Big Brown. So
exactly.
I try not to do too much with the post positions. And again, remember, records are made to be broken. You know, when it's like no horse has ever won it from 19, this is the year then. I try to be positive.
Well, you do say records are made to be broken, and that is very true. I will make this prediction. They won't break Secretariat's record in this race of 159 and 2/5 seconds. I'll boldly predict no one will even get close to that track record.
Well,
and it's supposed
and
to be a sloppy track, too. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, so we'll see.
Yeah, that rain, the possibility of rain, because we saw recently where Mind That Bird, who was a big long shot and then never won another race after he won the Kentucky Derby, you know, if you get a wet track, it does throw a monkey wrench into things. So we're sitting here and just going to have to, you know, reevaluate everything if we do indeed get a wet track. But that track dries out very fast, so even if they get rain sometimes early in the day, that track could dry out rapidly, and they're very good at that at Churchill Downs. So it's just one of those things, unless they get the rain right before the race. In the Smarty Jones victory in 2006. It rained just before the Kentucky Derby. So unless you get a situation like that, they're very good with their maintenance there to be able to get that track dried out quickly.
I'm just going to ask him a little bit about today's race in the Oaks. We haven't talked about it here on the show yet this morning, and we have an exercise rider that comes on the show with us a lot, and she got to ride Dreaming of Julia last year when she was just coming up through her training. Who are you looking at for the Oaks?
Well, that's very interesting from the standpoint that if Dreaming of Julia had been entered in the Kentucky Derby, she would have been my pick in the Kentucky Derby. And the reason is because when she won the Gulfstream Park Oaks by over 20 lengths, she won the race in time that was almost 2 full seconds faster than Orb when he won the Florida Derby. And Orb is the Kentucky Derby favorite. So if you got the filly who ran basically 10 lengths faster than Orb on the same day at the same track and at the same distance, to me, I would have to go with Dreaming of Julia. That said, I'm not even going with Dreaming of Julia in the Kentucky Oaks, which tells you that, to me, I think the Kentucky Oaks, to a large extent, tougher this year than the Kentucky Derby, because I really like a filly by the name of Close Hatches in there. And this is a filly who, to me, appeared that she could be something special when she won her first race this year in Florida. She was going 7 furlongs. She was way back early, way back. She was ninth. She was like in a different zip code. And she just absolutely came flying and won going away by 7 lengths. She's 3 for 3 going into the Kentucky Oaks, including a win in a grade 2 race at 1 1/8 the Kentucky Oaks distance. And her trainer, Hall of Famer Bill Mott, who is very, very conservative. I mean, if he says, you know, he might say something like, you know, that Kobe Bryant's pretty good. I mean, that would be like Bill Mott raving. He has predicted victory in the Kentucky Oaks with Close Hatches, and he's fully familiar with Dreaming of Julia because he ran Emollient against Dreaming of Julia in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. Emollient got beat 30 lengths, and a week later, Bill Mott fashion, shipped her to Kentucky, shipped her to Keeneland, ran her in the Grade 1 Ashland, and she won that race by 9 lengths. So Bill Mott is very familiar with the abilities of Dreaming of Julia, so for him to predict victory is quite interesting. And Garrett O'Rourke, who is the general manager for Judmont Farms, the owner, has said that this is a filly who had trained at Churchill Downs last year, Close Hatches, from June through November, and was scheduled to run at Churchill Downs in November, but she had a hiccup and didn't make her first start until the winter in Florida at Gulfstream. But she trained tremendously on that track. She loves that track. And so I'm not surprised to have been hearing rave comments from the clockers in terms of how Close Hatches is trained at Churchill Downs. And it isn't even just those two. You've got Midnight Lucky, who I saw here at Santa Anita win her first race, and she looked like an absolute superstar, then went over to New Mexico to Sunland Park and broke a track record as a 3-year-old filly, winning the Sunland Oaks by 8 lengths. You've got Unlimited Budget, who's undefeated in the race and coming out of the Fairgrounds Oaks in Louisiana, and that's a race that's been producing the Kentucky Oaks winner left and right in the last decade, including last year with Believe You Can. I mean, this is absolutely a Kentucky Oaks for the ages today.
Wow. You know, you mentioned Bill Mott. I was so pulling for Flashy Gray. I don't think I've heard a better name for a gray horse than Flashy Gray Horse. And unfortunately, she scratched just today and is not going to be in the Kentucky Oaks until Bill Mott lost another horse. But you're right. This is first of all, I love listening to you talk. I could listen to you all day. It's like an education.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Well, I do have one more question before we let you go here. We're kind of running out of time, and it's the same question I asked Frankie, as I have this crush on Rosie Napravnik. Is she nice? Is she a sweetheart? What's the story on Rosie?
She is a sweetheart, and I actually, ironically, I was on HRTV when she won her very first career race in Maryland, and She won it on a long shot, and I started following her from that race on and actually wrote a column on her. I write a weekly column at expressbet.com, and I've written only like 3 jockey columns in 10 years, and one of them was on her early in her career. And, I mean, she had such an ability. One thing I look for in young jockeys, apprentice jockeys, a couple of things I look for. First of all, can they win on long shots? And she was winning on long shots just at an unbelievable clip. And the second thing I look for, and this is very important to me for a potentially good jockey down the road after they lose their weight advantage, and that is to be able to come from off the pace, because it's not as hard to ride a horse if they're in front and out of trouble. It's quite a different thing if you're riding long shots and coming from off the pace. And Rosie had a tremendous knack for doing that. And so I'm absolutely not surprised to see the great success that she's had. And I did get to meet her when here in California when she was on hand to accept the Eclipse Award as America's Outstanding Apprentice. And that was the first day I got a chance to meet her. And she's just a complete class act. And everyone I know that deals with her has said the same thing. So she's absolutely... She's absolutely, just a very, very nice person.
Well, thank you for validating my crush. I appreciate it. John, thank you so much. John White of HRTV. When will you be on? Will you be back on today or tomorrow where we can watch you?
Yeah, I'll be on today and tomorrow and and Sunday. So, this afternoon I'll be on from 12:30 to 3 o'clock Pacific time. So that'll be right through that lead up to the Kentucky Oaks on HRTV.
Very good. Thank you, John. We appreciate you being on. Very, very interesting. And have a terrific weekend. Enjoy.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. What a but between Frankie and his drinking this morning and being hilarious and John's education here, it's been terrific. And now on my picks, I don't know. So hard.
Well, it's always easy to pick the favorite. That's why we reach out a little bit, try to pick somebody who's not the favorite. I mean, it'd be easy to say Orb. Every single one of them, every single expert has said Orb. But you know what? Stuff happens in the Derby. You got 20 horses that are cramming together on the rail. You get stuck. You never know. Not everybody rides like Calvin Burrell running up the center line, knocking people down, you know.
And so, Calvin is in this race. So.
I know. Exactly.
Hey, let's take a break and listen to the interview I did with our adopted Bug Callie, who is an exercise rider with the Pletcher Camp. And she talks a little bit about some of the horses, too. And then we're going to come back with Really Bad Ads. Don't worry, we'll get Really Bad Ads. We may go a little long today, a little past 10:30, and that's fine. We can do that. We will definitely get Really Bad Ads in today. So keep on listening. This is Callie with her report from the Pletcher Camp. Well, hi, Callie. Thanks so much for joining us on the day before the Derby.
Oh, you're welcome, Glenn. Exciting stuff happening and going on, and I'd love to talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know I just told everybody that you're in the Pletcher camp, and you're back to riding after hurting your ankle. And how's that going? Is riding going well?
Everything's going great. Yep. I also went to Gulfstream a couple times, when I could, and went on the Equifizer a couple times, and the Equifizer has been my best for therapy, but riding and everything is great.
So you're back to a full schedule every day?
I am. Actually, yesterday we got about 17 horses that shipped from JJ's, and we had 14 sets today, so I galloped 13 and worked one. So wow. I had a full day today, and it's going to be like that for the next couple of days until the other boys come from Churchill.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like your ankle's doing fine then. If you're riding 14 horses in one day, ankle's probably okay.
Ankle's doing great.
Okay,
yep. I'm going for runs, and, ankle's just fine.
Now tell me how exciting it is in the Pletcher camp right now. 5 horses in the Derby.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? If Todd really wanted to, he's got like 7 or 8 eligible, but, he went, we've got 5 in, and it's great because a couple of, all of these horses, it's very cool because last year I got to see all of these horses as youngsters just coming off the farm, from Saratoga and, you know, coming back into work, it's seeing what they're like, and it's, you know, it's so, it's just, it's very cool. You know, Verrazano's a, he's a beast. You know, I would gallop next to him and the pony would try and catch him, and it was, he was just, he's just a beast. And it's just, it's very cool.
Being
surrounded by that.
And I'm sure the atmosphere is kind of electric and everybody's very excited. Now, do you have a favorite of his horses?
Well, I will start off, I'm going to start off with the Oaks, because Todd also has four going into the Oaks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, yeah, and Dreaming of Julia is the favorite, and I actually used to gallop Dreaming of Julia before I had my accident.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I put a little nice little throwback Thursday thing on my Facebook. But, yeah, she won the Florida Oaks by 21 and three-quarter lengths, like, and she's been like that for every race. She's an AP Indy. Her dam was awesome. Like, she's just such a cool filly, like, such a cute filly, too. I love her. So she's hands down my favorite for the Oaks. Like, I'm going to be going crazy tomorrow. I'm going to be going crazy for the Oaks. Like, with the rain coming for the Derby, that's a tough call. You know, you've got Calvin on Revolutionary, who, and Revolutionary loves the mud. And, you know, I saw a thing on Twitter that somebody saw Calvin doing a rain dance for tomorrow for the Derby. So, yeah, it was totally, and so I could see that going very well. Palace Malice also has, you know, exceptional talent, but up until I heard the forecast, I was a big hands-down Verrazano fan, and I still somewhat am. It's more of like a Revolutionary Verrazano.
I like Verrazano too, and what a pretty horse.
Verrazano is just a beast. He is a beast, and, you know, he's got so many different, the thing about him is that he's got so many different gears. He's like a Ferrari,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he can slide in between horses, and he's, you know, he's made for Tampa, for the Tampa Derby, he made a record, and he did it, you know, not in his style, and, you know, Johnny's on him, and you can't, which is fine, you know, sigh of relief, Johnny's back in the saddle, but, yeah. I'm still a big Verrazano fan, but in reality, it's so, you know, it's very electric because this is the best string of horses that Todd has put in for the Derby, like hands down, like the most talent with, you know, Overanalyze is a sleeper for me because what he did in the Arkansas Derby, he showed a ton of talent and a ton of improvement, and that's the kind of horse that just keeps improving, improving, and improving. And it's the kind of situation where they might go, well, we might go 1-2, we might get the whole board.
Ooh, look at her making that prediction. Now you got some. Well, you do have some competition in there. Orb obviously is being talked about by everybody.
Yeah.
Now, you have a horse, too, or Fletcher has a horse that has a great name, although it does not fit our cat. He has one called Charming Kitten.
Charming Kitten, I do remember the horse. I do like the horse. Got a little bit of challenges for the race, but, you know, you got to have faith. You got to give him some faith. He's not my personal favorite for the Derby, but...
But what a great name for a horse, huh? Charming Kitten.
Yeah, Charming Kitten. Yeah, I remember him in Saratoga, too.
Sounds like, with a name like Charming Kitten, he has to end up being ridden by Edgar Prado, which isn't too bad either. But it sounds like a horse with a name, Charming Kitten, is going to end up in dressage after. You know? Not eventing.
Oh, I've seen the horse gallop. I don't think that's going to be a possibility.
Okay.
I've ridden the horse. It's not. I don't see that happening. As picturesque as that would be, I'm sorry. I just can't see that happening. No.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you for giving us a heads up from up there in New York in the Todd Pletcher camp. We appreciate it. We know where you'll be, glued to the TV like everybody else.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks, Callie.
All right, thank you.
Well, that was our adopted bug, Callie, there, and giving us the report from the Pletcher camp. She said there will be no alcohol consumed this entire weekend, and she will not have a hangover on Monday. So just for
Lies.
Todd, if you're listening, don't worry about everybody back at home. They'll be fine.
You know what? Do you think Todd Pletcher, with four horses in the Oaks and five horses in the Derby, do you think that on Sunday he is in a drunken stupor, or does he sleep all day, or does he go back to work? I know he's a really hardworking guy. But, like, wouldn't you want a vacation? But maybe he doesn't vacate until after all Triple Crown races. I don't know. These are the questions I have for him.
At least one day. Take a day off, Todd. Take a day off. He's probably going to have won a few bucks. He could probably afford a nice bottle of champagne.
Man needs to go to church on Sunday morning and make a donation into the plate. That's what he needs to do.
All right. It is that time of the week.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we do a segment we call Really Bad Ads. It's everybody's favorite. Our listeners submit some really bad, usually Craigslist ads to us that have something to do with a horse or a farm. And we read them for you and analyze them and tell you just how really bad they are. And this week, we have three terrific prizes that we're going to give away to the top really bad ads, in our opinion. The first is Leather Therapy Laundry Solution and Rinse Gift Set in the 20-ounce size. It cleans and conditions natural and synthetic leather, fabric, and sheepskin items in your washing machine. That's right. You put your leather in your washing machine. Use the solution and the rinse to restore the soft feel of suede or smooth leather fabrics, and fleece. You can find all of their products at leathertherapy.com.
And the second prize for the day is from Horse Maniac, $50. $50 gift certificate to horsemaniac.com. It's a gift certificate. It's the online shop that you've been looking for. Horsemaniac.com offers unique horse-themed designer apparel and a wide variety of equestrian merchandise. Visit their website at horsemaniac.com right now, which is kind of what I've been doing and dreaming. If I won the $50, what I would buy. So you just go online and start looking now. Get it done. You know, the sooner you pick it, the sooner it ships out. You can take advantage of their Horse Radio Network special offer. If you just want to shop, if you didn't submit or if you don't win, use coupon code HRN10 at checkout to receive a 10% discount on everything. That's horsemaniac.com.
And an Uncle Jimmy's gift pack also. It's the third big prize today for a winner. Uncle Jimmy's is giving away whatever he feels like. It's whatever's laying around the warehouse. He will send it out to you. And, of course, we all love Uncle Jimmy's. He's got his hanging balls and his squeezy buns and his licky things and his pecker wreckers. But they're all favorites of the horses. They love Uncle Jimmy's treats. So he is going to send you a gift pack. You can find all of Uncle Jimmy's products at uncle-jimmy's.com.
What do you think you would name dog treats? I don't know.
I don't want to know.
I know.
I don't know. All right, let's get started. Today we're going to start right in with Colleen Peachy. Well, that's a good name. I don't remember that name before. Colleen Peachy, who has submitted this one. Barn Fan Super Strong, $165 in Bucks County. That's Pennsylvania. I have two very powerful barn fans. These are industrial fans with Baton motors, made to last. If you bought them new, they would be $1,000 if you could find them. If you put one of these in your horse barn aisle, it will blow the greenheads into the next county. And that's their flies, people. And they adjust for hit and direction of blast, and they are powerful. Any questions, call. So there you go. Oh, wait a minute. This is the best part. No text or emails, please. If you text or email, I will assume you are a moron, and I will not respond.
Well said. Well said.
The next one comes from Nancy Paws. Nancy Paws, look. Look, a pure old-time Welsh pony gelding black white 1850. This is in all caps, so imagine me screaming, or this person screaming. This guy is a lot of fun. 9 years old, sound all back up to date. Don't don T kick bit ties loads. Good to be trim, don't in the shoes. Hate to let him go, but D to cut back. He gets along W all horses. Trail rides anywhere in group or by self. He's safe to go anywhere, right, Sis?
You know why I gave you this one now?
Yeah, I can clearly tell. For anyone to ride, from kids too big, that's T-O-O. For anyone to ride, from kids to big kids, L-O-L, like me, L-O-L. The worst ad I've ever read. I love riding him. He's so much fun. Do anything for you. But he has a lot of get up and go, not for a child. Just started out to ride. Didn't they just say it was good for kids?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, see, you go back a little bit. From kids to big kids, LOL.
Yeah.
Not for a child. Just stared out to ride. We use him for every teen trail, poles, barrels, cattle, WK, even starried on roping W him. Good, only you do not find many him like he, old type Welsh.
Oh, my God.
That was god-awful. Holy cow.
That does qualify as a really, really, really bad ad. That's bad.
I don't even know what I read.
I don't even know where to start. Oh. Anyway, $1,850, you can get that great horse right there. And by the way, he's good for kids, but don't put a child on him. That's
great for kids, except for kids.
No children, though. Kids are okay. No children.
When they say he's got a lot of get up and go, that means he's a runaway.
Yes.
Just
yes,
so you know.
He's going to dump your kid on his butt, and he's going to be gone to the next county playing on the road. That's what that means. Yeah, we'll be reading him on a news story here. All right, Mel Donald sent this one in from Australia, and I have to read what she says. She says the subject line, this is a really wordy bad ad. She says, this is a ripper from Facebook, and you must read it in your best Aussie accent. And yes, I copy-pasted it directly so as to not miss anything from the original ad. And the ad reads, birds. Yep, that's it. With the I don't know how to do that in an Aussie accent. How do you do birds in an Aussie accent? Birds.
Birds? I don't know.
I don't know.
Birds,
that's what the ad said, apparently. Birds. Birds. Birds,
birds,
eh?
Mate. Mate. No, it's not A. That's Canada.
No, that's Canada. That's right.
I'm really good at accents, as you well know. I can do an English accent that sounds exactly like my Australian accent, which is also from the Czech Republic. I don't know.
It sounds a little bit like your Southern accent. They all kind of go.
Exactly. That's the only one I can do.
Now, you thought that last one I made you read was bad. I give you this one for a reason, too.
Oh, God. Oh, God, you're challenging me. All right. Diane Brooks sent in this one, Palomino Horse. $700 in Evart, Michigan. Six-year-old gelded Palomino, he's slightly more than Greenbrook, has been under saddle several times and has been taken on trail rides. I suggest only an experienced rider with knowledge on training. He needs a firm but gentle hand. Period, period, period. He has no bad habits. Loads well, likes the water, loves to be groomed. He's approximately 15.5 hands high, maybe slightly taller. I believe they called that 16 hands. That was me adding that in. That wasn't written. Maybe slightly taller. His conformation is good. His feet are in good shape. His wolf teeth were removed when he was 2. He was born on my farm and has been here ever since. He has a good gait and some speed. He just needs a lot of work. The only reason I'm getting rid of him is because I believe he needs more attention than I'm able to provide him at this time. My daughter is going off to college, and I work too many hours. He deserves to be worked with regular. I want him to go to a good, loving home. I can be reached by email or my cell phone. I don't know. That wasn't that bad.
No, but, you know, when they do say, and we've seen this in many, many ads, when they do say he needs a firm but gentle hand.
Oh, yeah.
Does he need a firm hand or does he need a gentle hand? They're the exact opposite, a firm hand, a gentle hand. What's a firm, gentle hand?
All right. So I think the fact that they want you to have a firm but gentle hand means they want you to train him but not beat him. But he probably needs to be beat. So he probably needs the firm hand. Just kidding. All right, do the next one.
The next one is a trailer. We have two trailers today, two great trailers. And it's unbelievable that our listeners can keep finding trailers like this all over the country.
Beautiful.
Oh, it is. Beautiful. We've never had one like this before. And this is from Rachel, sent this one in. And the ad says, horse trailer for two, not rusted out, $1,500. And the ad says, you may call me anytime, day or night. It's okay to call. And Rachel adds, I'm glad they told me it's okay to call anytime, day or night. So I wake up in the wee hours of the morning and think, you know what? I really want that mustard yellow horse trailer. I don't have to wait till the sun rises to call them. That is correct. It is a mustard yellow horse trailer. It's the typical trailer we always see in these ads. It's the rounded front end two-horse trailer buried in weeds and leaves so you can't even see if the tires are flat or not. And it is mustard yellow. I have never seen anything this god-awful yellow.
It makes me want to, like, when you go to the ballpark and you order those big giant pretzels and you dip them in mustard, it makes me want one of those. It's that mustardy.
See, like, now this is where we differ. This is where me differ, because you, a vegetarian, went to the pretzel with the mustard. Me, I went to the hot dog.
Yeah, veggie dog. <Glenn. Yeah. laughs> Rachel, I would strongly suggest, if you're listening, here's what I would like you to do. I would like for you to, I don't know where SAC is, but maybe it's your town. I would like you to call them at 3:30 in the morning and see if it is truly okay to call anytime, night or day. Please, for me. That'd be so fantastic.
By the way, it's not rusted out either. It says that right in the ad. So it's a deal. $1,500 for this baby. It's a steal.
We done painted over the rust with the mustard yellow paint. We're just mustard. Could be mustard. All right, Glenn Forrester sent in the next one. Somebody is thinking ahead. Beautiful Molly Mules, perfect for Christmas gifts. Let me see. What month is it? It's May. It's May 3rd. beautiful Molly Mules, perfect for Christmas gifts, $550. Mules for sale, here are a few. We have prices, Barry. Thank you. Speckles is beautiful, is broke, and can be rode. We saddle her up in round pin, but only 3-year-old Coggins test. She has done 45 days. Training $550. For more info, Kate, she is beautiful. She has been rode. Coggins on her as well. She's smaller mule, $550. Cash only, no spammers.
So we've got a couple of mules here. We have one that's only been rode in the round pin, and he has a 3-year-old Coggins test. You think
I don't
understand. Get that up?
Coggins tests are not registration papers, people. You can tell your vet anything. All he's
true.
Four. Were they going to check? God.
Punctuation's a wonderful thing.
Ooh,
the second horse trailer, which Jennifer's going to post them both on Facebook, too, so you can see the pictures on Horses in the Morning. Just look that up on Facebook. But this one is from Brenda Nellums. It says, horse trailer for two horses, $450, East Las Vegas. Oh, this is a lot cheaper than the other one. Two horse trailer, clean title, holds two horses. Well, how many horses do you think a normal two-horse trailer holds, by the way, that we had to clarify that?
Four.
Has storage area for feed and tools. This is a beautiful, wonderful 1963. By the way, I was born in 62. 1963 G&B trailer. And, Oh, and she comes to say then that it needs one new tire and a rim. Let me tell you, I'm looking at a picture of this. It could use some mustard paint, let me tell you that right now. And it needs more than a tire and a trim. It doesn't have a jacket. It's being held up by cinder blocks. And it's a typical round two-horse trailer. Oh, and let's not mention that it's totally air-conditioned because the window in the front is missing.
Yeah, it's missing. And also, if you look at the picture, you will notice that it really does need one new tire and rim as it is kicked over to the side on a tilt, slant. It's on pavement,
sure,
but it's actually leaning to the right considerably. So I don't know if it needs new tire and rim. It just needs a right side of the trailer probably.
And it's been painted about 15 shades of red and white.
Do people buy these, really?
I don't know. It's $550 bucks. It's cheaper than the mustard yellow one. I got to say that.
It's not as pretty.
For sure. Okay, you think you had trouble with the other ones. No, this one's pretty good. This one's okay. Big, beautiful American warm blood mare sent in by Tabitha. Well, thank you, Tabitha. From Gainesville. Oh, Florida, right up the street.
Wait, Dallas, big, beautiful American warm blood mare for $550? I'm sold already.
You should be. You listen to this ad. Dallas is a 4-year-old, 17-hand thoroughbred Clydesdale cross. Are you still sold? You're going for this one?
Yeah, sounds good.
Powerful mover and very athletic.
Even better. $550,
so far.
What a steal. Yeah.
This is a steal. She's had 30 days professional training and has been backed and walked and trotted lightly. Still very green and needs to be in a consistent program. She has the potential to make a competitive sport horse with further training. Experienced riders and trainers only, not for beginners. Needs a lot of work. She has a tendency to be very, in capital letters, marish. Can be flighty and unpredictable. I do not have the time or the body parts to put into her. Needs to go as soon as possible. Price to sell fast. Come and get her. Has a current Coggins, only 3 years old. No, I added that. So now, after the entire ad, do you really want a moody, flighty, unpredictable mare that's going to kick your face in? And, oh, by the way, she has really big feet because she's 17 hands, thoroughbred Clydesdale cross.
Well, you know, it sounds like this horse has hurt somebody. You know, they're like, oh, she has potential. Experienced riders, experienced trainers, not for beginner, needs a lot of work. She's very merry. She's flighty and unpredictable.
Yeah.
I need her to go. She's killed my husband, and I need her to go. $550.
Yeah. My guess is a few people have fallen off of this one.
Yeah, exactly. But she's 4 years old. She just needs some good training. So, whoever you are that's selling the horse, Tabitha, thanks for the ad. All right, Leilani sent in this one. Paso Fino, trade.
You know, can I stop you here? You don't read these ahead of time. So,
correct.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks. How do you pronounce M-A-I-R?
I don't know. Meyer.
Meyer. Okay, let's go with Meyer. Paso Fino, Meyer, trade $300. I have a Paso Fino My Year trade for a trail horse, no tailor, then 15 hands. She is between 14 and 15 hands. High need work. Spooky was beaten before. Oh, got her about 4 years ago. Don't say ride, but is going to need an expert rider. She is bay with no white on her long mane, and Tell can have her breed to a saddle breed horse about the same size. She is an hour catcher. Oh, just don't have enough time to tran her. What the hell did I just read?
That's a really bad.
Really,
have you noticed the trend with today's ads? These horses are all ready to kill you. That's the trend with today's ads. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell I just read. It could be totally well broke. I don't know.
Cat sent this one in. For sale or trade, MFT horse, $900 in Arkansas. Pocahontas, Arkansas. What's an MFT horse? A mighty fine, tall?
Missouri Foxtrotter.
Oh, thank you. I have a 3-year-old chestnut mare for sale or trade for a well-broke quarter horse. Don't we all? She is nervous around strangers. She is nervous around strangers, but once she knows you, she will be fine. it's that honeymoon period that's going to cost you your face. She foxtrots even in the pasture, and I have seen her single foot. Does that like hop around on one foot? I don't know. I am selling her because she is too much horse for me. She is at least 15'2 and still growing. I need a gentle but not deadhead stout horse mare that will be good for pleasure and trail riding. Okay, people, listen to us. We say this every week. You can't take your half-crazy horse that's going to bite your face off and trade it for a well-broke horse. Nobody wants to do that.
I don't know, Glenn. I don't know. Here, let me play the advocate here. Let's see. I've got three fantastic, dead-broke, wonderful horses. I have Duke, Chili, and Jacob. I put kids on them. I have Joey. He's fantastic, too. And I was thinking that things are too quiet around here. You know, it's just a little too easy. And I was thinking that what I need to do is, you know, not sell them for a lot of money because they're incredibly well broke and calm and can put kids on them. What I need to do is trade them for something that is 3 years old, could kick you, bite, has been beat. I really need to trade my really fantastically well broke horses for something that's going to hurt somebody. I'm feeling it.
Well, there you go. Here it is, a Missouri Foxtrotter just for you. And it's gonna—the kids will love it when this Missouri Foxtrotter is just dancing around on one foot out in the field. There, it'll be really good.
I bet you I could get that big, beautiful American warm-blood mare from one of these horses. Oh, here we go. Robin Kane sent in this one. We're almost done, you guys. Show's gonna end here in a second. This is from Robin Kane. Trade horse for hay or ? An Upper Lake for $500. 9-year-old quarter horse, originally riding horse, but rider too old, so became friend to pasture animals. Lives with cows and next to goats. Leery of dogs. Big sweetheart. Very friendly. Lunged, saddled, trailered, but not riding in 4+ years. More of a pet than a trail horse now, but would work? Up to you. We'll trade for hay, oat, Timothy, alfalfa, golf cart, motorcycle, goat, cow feeder, 3 female goats, 2 female pigs, not potbelly, cheap post, panel fencing, Westell wagon, working or not, solar panels, 2x10 straight lumber, plywood, metal siding, roofing, aluminum panel, gate 6 feet, storage bay rolls, $500 cash, tincture. Delivery available.
Well, they kept their options open. I mean, they got a lot of options there for trading.
You know, yeah. I was going to trade my pigs, but I only have potbelly, sadly. So.
Oh, you can't do it. You can't do it. Nope, you can't get this 9-year-old quarter horse. But I bet
darn
you,
it.
You know, this is a 9-year-old quarter horse. We could trade it for a 3-year-old chestnut MFT. Perfect.
That's a great idea. Let's
all right,
them
one
together.
More. One more, and then we'll save the rest for next week. Denise sent this one in. This stallion is registered. He is gentle horse, no buck or rear. He is 14, 3.5 hands tall and is 18 years of age, but acts like he's 10 years old. And he trows beautiful colts. He is man's horse and rides good, $1,000. We welcome you to come and ride him for yourself. Have papers in hand. Okay. Now, he trows beautiful colts.
And
by the way,
he's got the papers in hand. That means I'm ready to just give this horse away.
Away. And let me give you a clue. When you read in the ad, this is an Amish phrase, by the way. He is a man's horse and rides good, which means he is a nut job. That means in Amish speak, women cannot drive this horse. This is a man's horse, which means he's going to take you down the road real fast. So if you see where it says man's horse, that means it's the same as those other horses we read up above. You don't want to be near this one. Just saying.
Yes, exactly.
And by the way, if you're putting an ad in where you say it's 14 and 3.5 hands tall, just say 15 hands. Just saying.
Janelle Cameron sent in this one. Last one, and then we'll pick our one of three winners. This horse has done it all. Been to Leatherwood Mountain, Mount Rogers, High County, Ewell Harry, Moses Cone, Cherry Grove, Road on the Beach, South Mountain, Hussey Mountain, Merrill Mountain, and with many trips to each one. where the hell is his horse? Where's a lot of mountains. Over the last 5 years, he is 7 years old. When we got him 5 years ago, he'd never been touched. Today, this horse follows me around like a puppy and has the best personally. He does get a little...
that's really funny.
This is why I don't pre-read them, so I read them as is. So I don't put my own spin on it in my head. Just read what's in front of me. He does get a little spook if you ride all alone, but I truly believe this can be fixed if you work with him. This horse has been the best horse for me. I am only sealing this horse because he is gated but a little slow than the walking horse my husband rides. He is also a bit little 14. Ooh, this horse is a bit little at 14.8 hands. And should not be carrying anyone over 160 pounds. He loves to play in the water or with other horses. He loads like a charm, easy to catch, stands great for my farrier, which I will give you their number. He has shod this horse for the 5 years I have had he. I will also give you his vet's number. Jonathan has been checking him for the last 3 years. I do love this horse and will not sale him to anyone unless I check the place that he will have been staying. Thanks for looking. Leatherwood, Mount Rogers, High County, Yuba, Harry, Moses, Cone, Cherry Grove, South Mountain, Hussey Mountain, Merrill Mountain.
And apparently her husband finished the trail ride long before she did, which is why we're trading up the horse.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, you decide the winners here. I'll tell you the prize. We got the Leather Therapy gift pack. Who do you think should get that?
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be tough.
Let's pick three people first. Let's see. I love Nancy Paws's one. That was just a god-awful ad from right at the beginning. I like Robin Kane's, and I like cats. I like cats a lot, too.
All right, so what do we got? We got Leather Therapy. Who gets Leather Therapy?
Let's give Leather Therapy to Robin Kane.
Robin Kane gets Leather Therapy. Congratulations, Robin. $50 Horse Maniac gift certificate.
Let's do that to Cat.
Cat gets the $50 Horse Maniac gift certificate and Uncle Jimmy's Licky Things. Or his
that
hanging balls or whatever.
Nancy Paws.
Nancy Paws. Nancy gets to play with Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls. Well, that's it for today. We have had so much fun today. Everybody enjoy later today. There'll be TV coverage of all the girls running over at Churchill. And then tomorrow all day, Jamie and Jennifer will be sitting there texting each other back and forth. Oh, wasn't that cool? I cried at that one. And then the race tomorrow night at 6. So everybody, we hope you have a terrific. We'll be talking about, we'll be talking about this weekend on Monday as we return here live on Horses in the Morning.
Now, so you know, Glenn, on Sunday, I'm supposed to have a baby shower with just all my horse friends. And my friend Don is
flying in. Haven't
you
had like 12 baby showers already?
Yes, trust me. This is like my horse friends. I had to do the family. I had family. And then I had all my Air Force wives group, you know, because they love to do that kind of stuff. And then this is all horse friends. And my friend Donna called me. And she's the one throwing it. She lives in Atlanta. She's coming into town for it. And she's like, listen, like out of the 19 people that are coming, 2 have children. 2. So she's like, listen, Jamie, I'm having a really hard time with the fact that you're having a kid and you're going to be a mother. So I'm not going to actually throw you a baby shower. We're just going to have a party. We are having a Cinco de Mayo party, Glenn, and we're going to have margaritas and beer, horse games. There is not one thing, baby, about this whole entire nonsense. I'm so excited. It's going to be the best baby shower, non-baby shower ever. I can't wait. I'll send you guys lots of pictures. It'll be fun.
All right. And you know, you can drink non-alcoholic margaritas.
I have my non-alcoholic margarita mix already ready to go for tomorrow. I'll be the only one drinking it, but it'll be pomegranate flavored and it's going to be delicious.
Well, you have a terrific time, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks to everybody for all the help with the MASH horses, spay, neuter, and geld.